This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter the Coors Light Ultimate Home Gate Giveaway, including a Yeti cooler, portable grill, pop-up tent, $200 gift card, and more. Go to the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page to enter, and then crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Must be 21+. Rules and restrictions apply. Brought to you by Coors Light. Made for football. Made to chill.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This will be a 55-yard drive. Tied at 42. Tucker with a chance to win it. From 55 yards. Morgan Cox for the snap. Sam Cook the hold. Tucker's kick is traveling down the middle. It is long enough. It is good. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens are on path to make the playoffs with an unbelievable comeback.
I mean, I'm stunned. I'm speechless.
The Ravens are on path, and guess who's not? Guess who's officially knocked off the path? Balls! Balls! Seriously. Nuts! That was a hell of a ball game, though, Murray, huh? Was that fun or what?
Best game of the year, hands down. Oh. That was like Rams-Chiefs last year.
Oh, my God.
Everything you want in sports, and especially with the NFL. That was awesome.
And you know why it was so awesome, Murray? Do you know why?
Why? Because it had path implications?
Yes, Murray, because you had a stake in it. Yes, because you had a stake in it. You had a rooting interest. You had a reason to watch football over the last month, whether it was to root for or against or to scratch whatever itch on the nether side of your nethers that you wanted to scratch. You had a reason to watch, and you had a stake in it. That's what made it so great. And that was a tremendous football game. And again, especially for those of us who are take invested on one side of the path or not, it killed the Patriots for all intents and purposes, ended the damn thing. But there were so many twists and turns at the end of that ball game, man. That was a tremendous night of football. It is a Tuesday. It is Felger and Maz. We got Maz back in our Town Fair Tire studios with Murray. The big boy, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal, is alongside as well. Maz, you got a thought?
Well, look, I didn't see the entire game, but Justin Tucker at the end, not that the kicker's the story. Talk about a guy who doesn't poop his pants. Pardon the expression. That guy's nails. So look, but the Patriots got what they deserved. Don't delude yourself into thinking otherwise. They got absolutely what they deserved.
Yep. No, they weren't unlucky. I'm not claiming bad luck or anything. I'm claiming is they almost got a miracle. The Browns had no business winning that game. Then the Ravens had no business winning that game. And, that's what made it so good. Big boy, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, I know you were entertaining the path beforehand. Are we officially going to bury that narrative?
Oh, for sure. And yeah. Felger not getting what he wants, you hate to see it. I'm just so disappointed by the Ravens' loss last night. It's more time to talk about journeyman quarterbacks. Who's up this week? Mike Glennon?
Okay, I don't know. I'd take him over the bum that you guys got. I'd take that guy over Cam Newton. I sure would. Maz, Murray, Mike Glennon, Fessernes, or Cam Newton?
Can I go with neither?
No, I'll take Glennon any day of the week.
I'd take Glennon. I'd certainly take Gardner Minshew's down there.
Yep. Absolutely.
Look, here's what I'll tell you. I don't know that there's anybody I would take Newton over. he's done. He's all done. He can't throw. I'll take anybody who can throw a forward pass.
So listen, we'll talk about that game last night. I got more thoughts on it. You want to join us on it, by all means, 617-779-0985. But since now the Pats, I think, are officially done, and it's, they would need some. Before last night, they needed help. They needed a lot of help. Now they need, like, epic, over-the-top, forget-about-it help, okay? So it ain't happening. And now that you can officially put the nail in the coffin, we officially, and this is what I didn't want to, I wanted to avoid, which is going into post-mortem mode, which is sort of like post-season analysis, where are we sort of mode. I was still looking forward to watching games and analyzing games and rooting for games and all this, but oh, well, so be it, that's over. Now we're sort of in officially play out the string, where are you as a team kind of mode. And where we are, Greg, I feel that their reset is bigger, steeper, and more onerous than it should be And they are much farther behind than they should be. That's how it feels to me.
I agree with you. And that was part of where I was going with the first part of my column today at BostonSportsJournal.com, where I remember in the offseason we talked about it, and the last time I did it was before the draft, where I sort of looked at the AFC and looked at all the personnel, every position, offense, defense, rated them to see where it came out. And at the time, this is before the draft, before opt-outs and things like that. But at the time, you could make the argument, because you didn't know what you had in Josh Allen, and really I was going off the previous year, is the Patriots and the Bills were somewhat in the same ballpark offensively. The Patriots had the edge defensively. I got to the offense sort of postseason review, since we now know what each team is at this point. And the Patriots are just, they're so far behind the Bills at this point. I mean, I have the Patriots rated the worst in the division, never mind the AFC or the NFL, mind you, at wide receiver one, wide receiver three, tight end one, tight end two. They are the worst in the division. And that's even before you get into the quarterback. So, yeah.
Where's the quarterback?
They are behind, and there's a lot of ground to make up.
Where's the quarterback?
What do you mean?
I mean, you just said the Patriots are last in wide receiver, last in tight end. Where are they in quarterback? And if you include the backups, where are they?
I don't include the backups. What do I care about the backups for?
Because I'd rather Ryan Fitzpatrick than Cam Newton. I'd rather have Joe Flacco than Cam Newton.
I have Sam Darnold last. I have the Jets last just because of the situation there. I mean, it's just all been bad. He's been bad. His stats have been bad. He hasn't played well this year. I don't think that's an indication of who he is. I think he's a lot better than that. And then I have the Dolphins, and this is over the course of the entire season, not just the last month, but over the course of the entire season, I have the Dolphins and the Pats basically even in third place, like way behind the Bills.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I must have missed something there. You're talking about overall roster talent. Or you're talking
about...
Well,
you asked me about the quarterbacks.
Am I the only one who's confused by this now?
No, you're not. I'm a little confused too. So look, the Patriots in the division right now, if we're talking quarterback situation, okay, fourth. The Jets are in better shape. They got a high pick in the draft, and they have a young guy that still gets some upside. The Patriots.
I think I'd rather have every one of their team's backups before I had Cam Newton. I know I'd rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is it Barkley? Who's backing up in Buffalo?
No, it's a kid that they drafted out of.
The kid out of Georgia. Jake Fromm.
They left him home. They left him home. He's
okay,
not.
So there you go. It's not
Barkley. Okay, so Fromm, I don't know. I mean, Joe Flacco and Cam Newton, toss up. Okay. So yep. I mean, I don't know. I mean, even if you rank the backups. I there's backups on these teams I'd rather have than the quarterback spot, never mind the rest of the roster. I just think, Greg, you confuse me a little bit. I just think, you know, roster, pure roster, take out the coaching that helps the Patriots along still. Just roster to roster, I'm not sure if they're a top 10 team in the AFC. I'm not sure where they are against the Jets. I haven't paid attention to the Jets roster. It's so bad. But even though I put them ahead of the Jets, I don't know if they're in the top 10 in the AFC if you include the quarterback position. I mean, they're behind so many teams. They are so far behind, and their reset is so, to me, dramatic that I think they deserve a lot of criticism for it. They should not have this dramatic of a reset. I think we were all on board and should all be accepting of having to retool the roster a little bit. Of course, every team goes through these, you know, you got to reset your roster. You get old, you go on a run, you got to reset. You spend a lot of money, you got to sort of flush the money, reset. Any sport, whether there's a cap or not, it's just sort of the ebb and flow of it. So I think we're all accepting of some sort of ebb and flow. But we're putting up here on NBC Sports Boston. I would put all these teams ahead of New England. I'd put, obviously, KC, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Indy, Baltimore, Cleveland, Miami, Houston. And then I get into, I don't know, you or Denver, you or Vegas. I'm not sure. I'd rather have Denver's quarterback situation.
Vegas has a better roster than the Patriots, Mike.
Vegas has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Vegas has a better roster. I don't know where they are at quarterback, better than you. Broncos, I'd rather have their quarterback than you. I don't know about the rest of the roster, but you were talking, I don't even know if they're top 10 in the conference, Greg.
Well, I looked at your list. I think you can draw a line at number 7, Cleveland, and then after that, you're splitting hairs. I mean, you know, Houston, Miami, it depends on what Tua is, and we have no idea what Tua is going to be. The roster, they've kind of gotten by in smoke and mirrors up front with some of the older guys like Van Noy, you know, Landon Roberts, things like that. The offensive line isn't all that good. Denver, no, I'm not buying on that yet. So, look,
beat you.
The Patriots had one of the best offensive lines in the league and one of the best secondaries in the league. Not a lot of teams can say that. So, yes, certain spots, certainly the specialty positions on offense, you can make that argument, maybe on the defensive line, but it's not completely barren. I wouldn't go there yet.
Okay, so what do you do, big boy? What do you do if you're
there? Well, I mean, you have to hope that, number one, you're hoping that the salary cap is as low as it can possibly be. And there's been more talking to NFL people in the last week. I have a feeling that the salary cap is going to hold where it was. I don't, as they get closer to sort of Armageddon after the season, there is fear on both sides from a lot of owners looking at their salary cap situations, from the NFLPA looking at, geez, how many guys could be on the street? How many guys are only going to get 1 year minimum contracts while they wait for the salary cap to sort out? No, we got to figure out a way to smooth the cap a little bit more. So I think that the cap's going to be more around $200 million instead of $176 next year. That's bad news for the Patriots. That means less guys on the street, less of an advantage for them. But there's no question they have to come out of this offseason with a starting right away quarterback, wide receiver, at least one, and a tight end. You need all three of those if you're going to compete in the division, let alone the conference.
What's so funny, Maz? That's
yeah,
not
good,
funny.
Good luck doing all of that. Good luck. I'm chuckling. It's a sarcastic laugh. It's a snicker is what it is.
Explain.
It's a snicker. Because, again, you can't do all that at once. If I'm them, so you ask Greg the question, what do you do? Here's what I would do. Defense. Your offense is going to take a while. So the quarterback thing is self-evident. I sort of say, you know, I don't know where you're going to find a starter. Let's hope that they can find one that's better than what they have, because what they have is garbage. But the draft, free agency, go build a real defense. Go get yourself some linebackers and a defensive tackle or two. And you might lose guys too, Greg, remember. So, you know, Joe Tooney's a free agent. Isn't David Andrews a free agent?
Yep.
Okay, so like, I think there's potential holes for this team all over the field. So you know what? If I'm Belichick, nuts and bolts. Go back to what you were at the beginning. Build it from the defense out. And then keep yourself in some games and ask less of your offense until you can build it. Because the offense is not an overnight proposition.
No, you know? No. Bill, if you're listening, do not listen to Tony. Don't. Please. No. We've been here before. That's what they did this year. They put nothing into the offense for years, Tony. And you're going to say, do it again? Why do you think Cam Newton sucks that bad? You know, it's not because he forgot how to throw. First of all, he does throw okay. Yes, he has issues, but they suck at wide receiver, at tight end. They have nothing on offense. You look at Josh Allen, he's got people all over the place. It's a little easier to play offense when you actually have people on offense. The Patriots have gone defense for years. It hasn't worked. Listen to Nick Saban, who said on the college level, the days of playing great, winning with great defense are over. Those days are coming to the NFL. You need to get better on offense quickly.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, because they do so well in the draft there.
Well, Greg, if you think the difference...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about draft. You need to go out and get proven players at quarterback, receiver, and tight end. Now, this year.
I'm all for it. They're due to spend some money. So, Chris Godwin, I don't know. There's a couple receivers out there that I would take. There's always tight ends floating around, and there's going to be quarterbacks available. Go spend. I'm with you, Greg. Fine, build offense. But if you think the difference between Josh Allen and Cam Newton is their surrounding cast, you, sir, are on drugs. You have real
No,
problems.
I didn't say that. Don't take me out of context, Felger. Again, that's not what I said.
Well, that's the first thing
what
you
I
went
said
to
was
look at what
you
Josh
could get.
Allen's
you could play
by.
Winning football. You could play winning football if there were any weapons with Cam Newton. You could play
so.
Winning football.
I don't think so.
They're going to go 8-8 at worst with Cam Newton. You don't think that they could be three games better with real weapons on offense?
You'd be a little better, but he'd still suck and he'd still hurt you. He can't play the position anymore at the NFL.
How did it work for Tom at the end of last year?
12
How'd
four.
Tom look at the end of last year?
Yeah, better than this. Better than this. I mean, he was.
Not much.
I mean, it wasn't grace, but it was better than this.
This guy can't throw.
Two teams were banging down his door in the offseason. That's how good Tom Brady looked last year.
Okay. So you want to join us, folks? By all means. We're off and running. Can't you tell? 617-779-0985. Before I go to break, hold on. I got to pull something out of my pants here. There's Oh, I've got a giant Giannis in my trousers. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. So there's another Celtics green. Oh, another white whale goes by the way. Another guy that doesn't want to go to Boston. Someone who would rather stay in freaking Milwaukee than come to Boston. Oh, it's not like you lost him to the Lakers this time. You lost him to Southeast Wisconsin. Holy crap. Is there a bigger rectum in America? We're talking about a place you'd rather not be.
Yep.
You couldn't coax a player out of Milwaukee, and you're talking about coaxing players out of L.A.? Holy smokes. We'll get to some Celtic stuff coming at 4 o'clock.
Can we get a wellness check on the large Greek population
in
Massachusetts?
God, dude, I've got a souvlaki in the bottom of my shorts right now. Holy crap, I have to go service it. And then we'll come back with your calls. Don't
just,
go anywhere.
Just don't drop any tzatziki sauce anywhere.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at CapeCodCafePizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo! Boo.
It's Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub.
McSorley shotgun on 3rd and 1. He takes it. He's going to keep it. And he's going to get hit for a big loss as Myles Garrett smothered him back at the 44-yard line. And now it's 4th down. McSorley went down, Doug. I think on that turf, he went down and he's injured right now. What drama. When Trace McSorley went down injured, Lamar Jackson came racing out of the Ravens locker room, fighting cramps, and he comes in to play quarterback on 4th down and 5 at the Browns' 45-yard line. Dobbins on his right hip in the shotgun. He takes the snap, back to pass. He rolls right. He's throwing down the field. Marquise Brown's got it, and he's going to go in for a touchdown. Lamar Jackson on a 4th down play, rolled out to the right, and the Browns lost Brown in coverage, and he was wide open for a 45-yard touchdown. Right. And the Ravens lead. 1:51 left.
Now the Browns came with a blitz, and then all the attention was on Lamar Jackson, and they just lost Brown.
Yeah, that was a good defensive call. Let's send the house and allow Lamar Jackson to roll to his right with no one out there and then not get back. That's tremendous coaching. Tremendous. See, the thing is, I still think the Pats have a sniff because of their coaching, but there is a point where Bill gives them such a lousy players that it doesn't make a difference. And I think that's where we are. I think we've reached that line with the Patriots where their coaching doesn't matter because their roster sucks so bad and their quarterback play is so bad. Not even Bill can coach his way out of that. But last night, the twists and turns in that second half, it started. I know like Murray was probably into it. He watches all these neutral site football games and has a stake. So it starts in the third quarter there, Murray, where, you know, the Browns kicker misses the extra point. Okay, it's like right then and there, I'm like, oh, that's it. You know, they go down. They were down 14. They score a touchdown to make it what should be a 7-point game. The guy misses an extra point after missing a chip shot field goal earlier in the game. So now they're down 8. They do force a punt. They get the ball back, and Mayfield immediately throws what's just about a pick six. Linebacker makes a great one-handed interception deep in Browns territory. One play later, they score, except they get their extra point block. Now it's a 14-point game.
Still, I did feel like that game was probably over at that point because that, I don't know. I hadn't watched much of the Browns. I don't know if they were coming back from 2 scores, the way that that game swung. And then Lamar Jackson either really had cramps or he's pulling a Tuukka Rask, and all of a sudden they put in this McSorley, and it's like, what is happening?
Well, so here you go. So then the Ravens get an extra point blocked. It's a 14-point game. Browns get the ball back. They go down the field and score. They convert a 4th and 4 along the way with this with a ball to Landry over the middle. So they convert a 4th down. There would have been the ball game there if they don't convert that 4th down. They score. And so now it's back to, oh, no, they go for 2 because of the stupid analytics. They're down 14 in the 4th quarter, Maz. So like I've told you, all these teams now, when you're down 14 in the 4th, that first touchdown, you go for 2.
Which, by the way, just real quick, too, because all the nerd analytic community on Twitter, too, is like, well, that was the right thing to do. The math says it was a fluke. It was a tip pass. The guy behind him made the play.
Right. Chubb drops it. Landry catches it behind him. So now they're down six. Okay, Baltimore gets the ball back. You think it's game's over still because the Browns can't stop the Ravens, having all night, except it's this Marty McSorley guy. What happened to Robert Griffin?
I don't even know.
I said, where'd this guy come from? So all of a sudden, there's a dude who doesn't play like Lamar Jackson, let me tell you that. And they're three and out. Browns get the ball back. They go back down the field and score, go up one. And now it's like, oh, Browns are going to win. Lamar Jackson's out. Browns are up by one because they went for that stupid two-point conversion on the first one. And now they're up by one. Marty McSorley's in. It's like, ball game. Path is alive. This is great. This is awesome. And McSorley, they get out there. They immediately are in 3rd and 10 with McSorley in the game. This is a forgotten play. 3rd and 10, 5:39 left, and McSorley picks it up. He picks it up. He hits their tight end Snead there for 13 yards on 3rd and 10. Drive alive. Then they get the play we just played. They were 3rd and 2. McSorley trips all over himself. 3 yard loss. Now they're in 4th and 5, and they go to the 2 minute warning. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. So when you're watching on TV, you didn't know Lamar Jackson was coming back. It was. Because I don't think they had shown him by that point. So they go to the two-minute warning. McSorley's down. I don't know if they have a third quarterback. And they're facing a 4th and 5. And I put my feet up. I'm like, here's the path, baby. Here comes a Blanami for Murray tomorrow. I can't wait. And here comes Lamar Jackson out of the locker room immediately on 4th and 5. And the Browns send this asinine zero blitz. Send the house with no contain on Lamar Jackson, and they don't get back in the secondary. And Hollywood Brown, who had dropped like 3 balls before, finally catches it, and that puts them up 7. The Browns go back and tie. I mean, it was just a tremendous night, a tremendous game. But here's my one takeaway, and sorry for the long play-by-play, Greg, and I'll send it to you, is that, you know, so the Browns are limited on defense. I get it. There's a lot of bad defenses out there. But the coaching to allow Lamar Jackson to escape to his right like that. It happened at the end of the second quarter, too. I don't know if you watched it, but at the end of the second quarter, it's, you know, we're almost to the half, and the Ravens are in a long down and distance situation. They let Lamar Jackson roll right, run around, and he hits, I think it was Andrews, for a big gain that set up a touchdown just before the half. And it's like, if you're playing Lamar Jackson, the one thing you absolutely cannot do is let him get out on the edge, especially out on the edge to his right. And it's like, you don't have to have good players to do that. And that's my main take with that the Browns let him get off like that is on the coaching in Cleveland.
Sure. No, I agree with you. I mean, that was a game that the Browns should have won last night, that they needed to win. And for them to come up with that defensive call, I thought Greg Williams suddenly was on the Browns sideline. I mean, it was just
brutal.
It was just dumb. It was dumb.
Okay. Hey,
and then the way they got penned in the middle of the field on top of, like, I know you know, you're talking about not sitting the edge. Everybody ran to the inside, not just one or two guys. There was nobody there. Everybody ran inside. Hey guys, it was unbelievable.
Lamar Jackson's kind of fast. So if you know, he can run away. It's like you're all going to blitz right up next to the guard. Like what? I mean,
it's unbelievable. There was nobody on the right side there. He just dumped it over to Brown and off he went.
That's the guy that you do the exact opposite to. That's the guy you take away the edges and you keep him in the pocket. And like, it's just the coaching in that league. And I still think, to take this all back to the Patriots, is there one way out of this? Okay. Is there one way out of this? That I still think the coaching can be elite. Okay. I don't think Bill's had the best year, and he certainly had his moments. There's things we can pick apart, but I think that on his good days, Bill is a difference maker. But if his roster sucks so bad and his quarterback play is so bad, it doesn't make a difference. And that's where they are right now. And so how do they get their way out of it? Again, I apologize for hijacking that segment. I just wanted to download that game last night. I thought it was awesome. I promise. After Murray's update, we'll do quick three up, three down, and calls with Bedard. Don't go anywhere.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Well, let's do this quickly. The game was now 4 days ago or whatever, but it's sponsored, so let's do it. Three up, three down, brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, please visit massgeneral.org. Give me all three studs, all three ups at one time here, Bedard and Maz.
Adam Butler, David Andrews, N'Keal Harry for the ups. Maz, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. Mine are Miles Bryant, N'Keal Harry, Jake Bailey. And let me just, 71-yard punt for Jake Bailey in this game. You know what? He's nails. And just quickly on Miles Bryant, 5'9", undersized, highly motivated guy, firecracker personality. Remind you of anybody?
Malcolm Butler. No, doesn't sound familiar.
5'9".
N'Keal Harry, Greg, any signs of life there?
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, just as a big slot, and is that the type of offense they want going forward? Maybe. They haven't in the past. But, yeah, I think they've found a spot for him, but that doesn't mean, like, he's going to be good or anything. I mean, he's going to be, like, a number three or number two. I mean, so what? He's functional now. Yay, golf clap.
Okay, three duds.
Justin Herron. He played 7 snaps and allowed a sack and a half and a hurry in 7 snaps. Jermaine Illuminor was god-awful in this game.
Oh, my God.
He was horrid.
And Cam Newton, even his completions weren't accurate in this game.
Mass.
John Simon. He blows. Can I just say that? Oh, does he suck? Oh, my God, that guy's terrible. John Simon, Illuminor, Cam Newton were my three. Honorable mention to Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. That sequence down at the goal line, 4 straight running plays up the middle, no pass attempts, was pathetic. I'm sorry. Absolutely pathetic.
Bad day for the coaches. Oh, did the Patriots get outflanked in the running game? Whether it was the multiple tight ends or running into the motion or whatever, they just talk about a defense that emphasizes giving up the edge. How soft they were, it felt to me, Greg, on the perimeter. And I felt they were thinking that the Rams still play that 3 receiver stuff when it was really 2 tight end stuff. I don't know. You tell me if I'm wrong. And I'm with Maz. That play calling at the goal line was just woof.
A couple things on that. And I wrote my column off the game off this with the defense. To me, I'm watching the beginning of the game and the Rams came out and you got to give McVay credit. Maybe it wasn't a revenge game from the Super Bowl, but he definitely learned. He learned that he can't just do what he showed on tape to the Patriots. They'll be ready for it. They'll be ready to punch you in the mouth. And so this time he had a bunch of off-speed pitches, and the Patriots weren't prepared for it, including offensively. They come out with a lot of tight end sets, multiple tight ends. They went away from their normally 11 personnel. This was 12, and they did it in different ways. And what surprised me watching on film is I see, so the Rams are in double tight ends to one side. Okay, well, I could tell that John Simon's, like, outflanked. Like, why aren't they adjusting at the snap? Why isn't Juwan Bentley giving some sort of check? And why aren't they rolling strong safety down or move the linebackers over? They didn't do anything. And to me, that spoke to, and I'm just guessing here, that because of Anthony Jennings, because of Kyle Duggar, because of the kids on the field, they weren't comfortable making those checks. Normally, if Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower are out there, they know how to handle that stuff. They could handle the curveballs. This unit could not that way. And then down on the goal line, look, I'm not going to get into a huge argument with you on any of the play calls, but so, at least on the fourth down play, you know, it's 4th and 1 on the 2 or whatever. And Jermaine Illuminor just flat out, they ran the same play 6 plays earlier, flipped to the other side with Mike Owenu blocked the correct guy. He's supposed to get to the inside linebacker. They run it there. Jermaine Illuminor, what does he do? He blocks down on the edge. Nobody gets the linebacker, and now it's all screwed up. And I will also say on that play, look, it was screwed up. Cam Newton, this is another example of him not being instinctual, not reacting to what's going on. He should have known right at the snap, all right, crap, Illuminor's blocking this wrong. This play's not going to work. I'm just going to get it out to Damian Harris and let him try to make a play. In case, what does Cam do? He just freezes, he gets tackled, and it's game over. I mean, it's just lack of execution, in my opinion.
Okay, your calls as promised. Thanks for holding on here. Matt in Manchester, lead us off on the Patriots receiver situation. Go ahead.
First off, how bad was that beat last night?
Oh.
If you had the Browns +3 or +3.5, terrible.
Yeah.
Why would a free agent wide receiver want to come to the Patriots
money
when they throw for 84 yards, 69 yards, 119 yards?
Doesn't matter. Money.
Okay.
Seriously, Felger, I heard you talk about this last week, and I brought it up, I know, in years past. You guys got to stop. You Patriots fans out there, you got to stop with this. Why would they come here? Like, I don't know if it's because you believe the fantasy that it was Tom and the allure of Bill and all these rings that got people to come here. First of all, not that many really people came here all that much. Second of all,
thank you.
Felger's right. It's about money. It's about money.
Okay, but
Craig, if your money is green at the end of the day, if you're the biggest stack, they're coming. End of story.
Okay, so but this is the problem, and this is where I, Mike, I come back at you with the same thing on this. Since when are the Patriots the highest bidder? So again, now if that means that they're going to change, then fine. And by the way, Greg, when we're talking about offense and defense earlier, I'll give you offense and free agency. I thought we were talking more about the draft. So I don't disagree they have holes on offense. But that aside, since when do the Patriots shell out top dollar for talent?
Gilmore.
So, but hold on, you can still be concerned about that. But the caller says, and our callers like to say, well, what receiver is going to come here when you're throwing for 84 yards? Not the story. Not the story, caller. You can say, what receiver is going to come here when you don't pay anybody? That is germane to the situation. And
Correct. Look,
there was a time where certainly you might get a discount on someone because they did want to play with Brady or they were ring chasing at the end of their career. It's a rare situation, but you may have gotten it a little bit, forgetting the fact that Moss and Revis and those guys were trades, and Corey Dillon for that matter. They were trades, they weren't free agents. But if you want to play that little game, certainly along the way, someone somewhere probably took a little less because they wanted to get a championship. I'll grant you that. But in terms of like the high-end talent, free agent receivers or any position for that matter in that league, Greg, guaranteed money is such at a premium. If you offer the most guaranteed money, 99.9% of the time, you're going to get the guy. Okay,
yeah, and so, exactly, Mike. And one thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, in terms of how you structure these contracts, see, a couple things. Number one, what you were just talking about, the guys who might want to come at the end. Yeah, those were sort of the final pieces of the puzzle. You're in a completely different situation now. You're in a complete rebuild.
You need like, foundational pieces. That's right.
Yes, you're looking for multiple foundational pieces on offense right now, maybe one on defense, instead of just, oh, the one guy, the receiver, the safety, like the one little piece to sort of give you, if complete the puzzle of a championship unit. You are far from that right now. And at the end of the day, what happens is, especially at the initial wave of free agency where there's no visits, there's no none of that. It's all you send your proposal to the top free agents like Stephon Gilmore.
Sure.
This is how the Patriots got Stephon Gilmore.
Sure.
They overpaid him at the beginning. They will send their proposal. The agents get all the proposals. They sit down with the player and they say, look, this team is offering you $80 million to sign your name right now. Over here is the Patriots, who will give you $25 million right now. Then on June 1st, they want to give you another $25. Then next year, they want to give you another $25. Like, which, this all comes into play. It doesn't have anything to do about the talent. It's all about the stacks and when they get their money.
Okay.
But
so,
go ahead, Mike. It's just for us. We get the call 8 times a day, folks. If you outbid other teams, you'll get the receivers you need, the tight ends you need. Now, you can debate whether that's a smart way to build a team or do business. You could say that it's not. But don't worry about getting players. If you're willing to pay for the players, they will come. Yes, Maz, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say they don't have a choice. The part that still worries me is whether or not the Patriots will do it this way. What other avenues do they have? I want them to spend. I just don't believe that they will. Again, I was listening to Zolak and Bertrand today, and they started talking about Stidham, and Zoe says, well, you know, they'll bring him back for another year. He's cheap. And I'm thinking, I don't care what the quarterback makes anymore. I don't care what anybody makes anymore. I want players.
Okay,
whatever they cost, pay them.
Long commercial-free segment.
Yeah, that's a different argument.
Long commercial-free segment is next. We'll get back to your calls with the big boy.
Duggar and Maz.
Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Life can be complicated, especially with all the new challenges we face today and the uncertainty of tomorrow. One thing you shouldn't have to worry about is your auto, home, or business insurance. That's why Hub New England makes it simple. The best coverage for the best price. As the largest insurance broker in Massachusetts, Hub New England works with Safety Insurance and makes it simple to provide the best protection by evaluating your needs and then matching you with the right coverage. Hub New England. Ready for tomorrow. Learn more at hubinternational.com.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The path exists. The path exists.
I think you have a path because you do still have Bill Belichick. You do still have the remnants of a really good team.
They're not dead yet. They're not.
I know this. If I were an opponent, I wouldn't want to face the Patriots. I wouldn't want to face Bill Belichick.
They could lose this week at Houston. So that's not confident.
This is true. What's Houston's record?
2-7.
They got two wins?
Two wins.
Two wins?
Two wins.
You should be able to get up running the ball, make Houston one-dimensional, plays into the strength of your secondary. And that's how you should win this game.
I would think so.
Anything less than that, I'll be a little disappointed. And if they lose, I'm out.
Goodbye, path to the playoffs. You're leaving us today. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
This path talk has made me want to off myself in the Charles River. Like, there's no freaking path. They suck. They're not good.
Goodbye to the path math. There's nothing you can say. You cannot change your mind. Goodbye.
I'm going to miss these. Miss Murray's path features.
Path production? That's from like a month ago.
Path production, it's true. I declared the path dead after the Jets win. I declared the path dead after the Houston loss. I kept going back on my word. This time I mean it. It's really over this time. We got Greg Bedard alongside going over where the Patriots go from here since it now is officially over. Jacob in New Hampshire, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, I agree with Greg that you can't win on defense anymore. Lamar Jackson can literally go into the locker room, take a dump, and come back and win the game. But the reason I call is that I'm asking about, like, because the front seven's been a problem all year, like linebacker, defensive line. I honestly think you should blow up the whole defensive line because outside of Adam Butler and maybe Lawrence Guy, like, I think they all suck. Like, DJ Guai stinks.
Defensive line is implying that they have a defensive line. Outside of those guys, who do they got? They signed some kid off the street this year, and he's, like, in there starting, right? Who was that? The nose tackle they kept playing?
Akeem Spence.
No, he's a linebacker, isn't he?
No, there's another guy.
Davis? Carl Davis?
Carl
Davis.
They don't have a defensive line to blow up, I don't think. I mean, I think he said offensive line, but he meant defensive line. That first thing that he said, though, that you can't win on defense anymore. Do you believe that, Greg?
I'm starting to. I think we're at a breaking point in terms of that, in terms of, you know, what's coming from college, how the college game is being played. The Patriots in 2018 were the best example. Are we going to see another game like that? And I think the Rams, I think McVay and Goff all factored into that. So I don't know how much you could say it was great defense, but also really bad offense in that game. But I think with each year we're getting further away from that. You can win on defense. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, it's a big philosophical question, Maz. I mean,
it is.
You know, yeah. What do you think?
Well, it's legit. I mean, it's a legit question. And again, I don't know if we're gonna, you know, you're gonna be able to build a consistent winner every year with a great defense if you don't have if you can't score. Okay, but I think that has been always true. But they got trampled the other night. I mean, their front seven's a joke. If they can't stop the run, forget it. You have zero shot. So I'd like to see some players added to the front seven at a minimum. And I also think that they've been able to play pretty good defense at times this year because they've been able to cover. So I still put an emphasis on cover guys. And they're going to lose Gilmore, I think. So I do worry about that. Like, I just – they have so many freaking holes. so many holes. And so I just, what worries me most right now is if they can't stop the run, the rest isn't going to matter. It's not going to matter.
Mike, can you make a point? I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
One quick point, Mike. Not only, you know, did we talk about the quarterback, the wide receiver, and tight end, but they're looking at an offseason, if you believe in, especially on defense, that you should be strong up the middle, which is what I believe, including on offense. You know, David Andrews, I assume they might franchise because they figure they're going to lose Tooney. You try to retain Andrews. Lawrence Guy's a free agent. They have nothing at middle linebacker, and Devin McCourty could retire. I mean, you know, that's a legit possibility.
You're right. You know, the Hightower question. Even if he wants to come back, are they going to pay him what they were going to pay him? Is he going to accept whatever a restructured contract is? And providing they get all that settled, what's he going to look like after a year out of football and now 30, whatever? You know, is he going to be able to run anymore? Like, they probably have to start over at that position, too.
Yep.
Here's Mike in Jamaica Plain. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I was just wondering, do you think Bill Belichick might have, like,
Mike, on what planet do you think that phone was going to be okay?
Not this one.
Try it again. I'm going to give you one more shot. Hold it like a pizza. Try it one more time, Mike. Go.
No chance.
Yeah, I was wondering, do you think Bill Belichick will lose his job if he doesn't start getting wins early next season?
And how do you think... you know what? That's all I can take. And it gets the point out. Greg, is Bill Belichick coaching or drafting for his job this year?
No. I think at least the crafts will take a look at what it looks like at the end of next year. So it depends. I mean, I think he's fine for a while, but if it's a complete train wreck next year, if they don't address a lot of things we're talking about, and this team is, say, 4-12, 3-13, after next season, I think it could be on the table.
So, I mean, this is why I think that the quarterback thing is just such a separate, deal to me, Maz. They have to build the roster from the ground up.
Yes.
A ton of holes, like you said. So they've got to draft well. They've got to spend some money. Like, all of that. All that's over here. Here, on the other side, is coach quarterback.
Correct.
Coach quarterback. Right? I mean, we've seen it. We see it in the league. We've seen it here for years. Bill's coaching and good quarterback play covers up a lot of crap and can get you through and win you some games that your roster isn't good enough to win, and it'll just sort of, you know, cover up a lot of holes. So they got to, you know, if he just gets the quarterback thing right, they could be a playoff team next year, should be a playoff team next year between his brain power and quarterback play. So, like, that's like almost like a separate thing to me. He's got to get that right. If he starts to fill holes on the roster but the quarterback still blows, like, that's still not good enough.
Okay, but again, so which one's harder to do, Mike? The quarterback's the hardest one to do, especially when you're in the spot that they are, because they don't have a guy in the pipeline that they're developing.
I don't know, Maz. I don't know. To me, I mean, I can see Stafford become available. I can see Garoppolo become available. I could see, Greg, maybe someone like, I don't know, maybe Alex Smith become available. And the next thing you know, you're winning 2 to 3 games while you're building the rest of your roster. And I feel like that's almost more identifiable, Maz, than asking Bill to go out and find a receiver. Oh, my God, I have no faith in that.
Okay, so look, I hope you're right that there are all these guys available on the market, but something tells me that in order to get guys like that, you're either going to have to trade for them or pay them.
Yeah, well, that's part of the issue, too. The days of waiting for the last guy available on the street to sign for a buck is over. That's not going to fly this offseason. Let's pick this up on the other side. Murray's got an update. It takes 90 seconds, no commercials. Right back with Calls with Greg Bedard.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Cape Cod Cafe Pizza. Perfect for dinner, whether you cook it in the oven or on the grill. So next time you're out, grab a few Cape Cod Cafe pizzas. They're available at your local grocery's frozen food section, or just order them online at capecodcafepizza.com. Have it shipped directly to you to enjoy.